All right, if you would this morning, turn me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And because the messages are on the internet and on radio and different places, I always like to try to give the messages a title. The fellows that have to put them out there on the internet, Robbie was telling me down in Gunnersville that their messages are on the internet now. I had gone out and listened to some of them, but he said he always had to listen through them two or three times to figure out a title for the message. And so I try to eliminate that. And so I'm going to talk to you this morning about two of the greatest words in the Bible. And anybody want to take a guess what they are before we start? What, Steve? But now, buddy, you nailed it. Come on up, you can preach. No, Ephesians chapter 2, look there in verse 11. Wherefore remember that being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Go back, if you will, to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and this will really be our starting point. But I want to read Ephesians chapter 2, because there Paul talks about time past and but now. And we know, of course, the Bible talks about that which is to come. So really, you can divide the Bible like we divide time in general. All of time can be looked at in time past, now, and that which is to come. Past, what we call past, present, and future. And so it is with the Bible. There were things that were true in time past in regard to how people are saved and how they should walk and respond to the commandments of God and so forth that are no longer in effect today. There are things that are in effect today that were not in effect in time past and will not be in effect in the time to come. So what we want to do is we want to consider some things today where Paul uses these two important words. What I identified in the beginning there is probably two of the most important words in the Bible, this but now. And what we want to do is we want to look at some things, because when you use that phrase but now, that indicates that something is different now than it was in the past. I once was lost, but now am saved. But was blind, but now I see. In other words, when we use that phrase, we talk about a contrast of something that exists today, something that takes place today, as opposed to that which took place in the past. I once was lost. Until I was about 25 years old, I was lost. But now, I'm saved. And what a difference that is. And so, when we look at this phrase in Paul's epistles, what we're going to see are some differences in what was and what is. The first one I want you to notice is in Romans chapter 3. In Romans 3, in verse 21. I'm sorry, in verse 19. Paul said, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Now, in verse 21, Paul said, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." You see, there was a time when people manifested the righteousness of God by keeping the law. There was never a time that the law in itself would save a person. There was never a time that simply by keeping the commandments could a person be saved. If that were true, Paul would have been saved before his encounter on the road to Damascus. The Pharisees, who were emphatic about keeping the law would have been saved, and we know they were not. The Lord Jesus Christ called them serpents. But there was a time when people's faith was demonstrated by keeping the law. As a matter of fact, I want you to notice a couple of those. Go back to Deuteronomy and chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the writings, of course, of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 24, he says there to Israel, "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day." And he says there, "And it shall be our righteousness if," there's that if system again, "if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us." Look over, if you will, in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. In verse 5. Luke 1, verse 5. "There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Notice now. "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." You see, there were those that kept the law apart from faith. They kept the letter of the law, but there were those who by faith believed and kept the law, and they demonstrated their faith by keeping the law. And so, the Bible says then that they were both righteous before God. Why? Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Well, notice the contrast of that back in Romans chapter 3. Paul said, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." You see, whereas back there in the Old Testament, people manifested their faith by keeping the law, we manifest our faith by not relying upon the law or demonstrating the keeping of the law. And as I heard someone say one time, a real good explanation of how all of this works is that in time past, people demonstrated by their faith by what they did. We demonstrate the fact that we have faith by doing nothing in relation to our salvation. Not doing nothing in relation to working for Christ's sake, but doing nothing in relation to salvation. So Paul says there in verse 21 of Romans chapter 3, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." And he says in verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." So today, the righteousness of God is manifest in those that believe the truth of the gospel and accept the truth of the gospel and trust in what Jesus Christ for them has done for them on Calvary, plus nothing. Righteousness. You see, today, there are many people that believe that they demonstrate or they manifest righteousness by their good works. And they'll use the verses, "By your fruits you shall know them." Now, as I mentioned, I believe that, and I know, I don't simply believe, I know emphatically that the Bible says that we are to maintain good works. The Bible says that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so good works are extremely important. But you know something, folks? A lost person can do all the same good works that a saved person can do. I mean, they can imitate all the same things. The righteousness of God that is manifested, I believe, primarily is manifested in the words and the testimony of those that have trusted Jesus Christ and proclaim His righteousness, not ours. The Bible says, in relation to mankind in general, that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And so what happened? God gave us what is called the gift of righteousness. Look over in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead, that's through Adam, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, now notice, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, that is Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So this free gift of righteousness came through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look over in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, Paul is writing about his brethren, the nation Israel. In Romans 9, 10, and 11, those chapters are all about the nation Israel. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." There's a lot of people like that today, folks, in the world. They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. Notice what they're ignorant of. For they, that is Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see, they were still submitting themselves unto the righteousness that was associated with keeping the law. They boasted. There was far over in Acts chapter 21, I believe it is. There were thousands of Jews, they said, which believed, and they were all zealous of the law. And so they did not understand that when Christ died on Calvary, He was the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And the sad truth today is, folks, is that there are multitudes of people that today are preaching a works salvation that don't understand that righteousness is a free gift, and they're going about to establish their own righteousness by their own deeds and their own laws, and they don't understand that, but now the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith and so forth. They are ignorant of God's righteousness, and thus they're going about to establish their own righteousness. They've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And Paul says there, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. No wonder he said, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. You know how it was manifested? It was manifested by the Lord Jesus Christ and through the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. The righteousness of the law, of God without the law. In Romans chapter 7, something very closely related to this is the fact that, but now we are delivered from the law. You see, if no longer righteousness is exhibited by keeping the law, then there is no need for the law in relation to salvation or righteousness. Now, Paul said the law is good if a man use it lawfully. And every law that was given in what people call the Ten Commandments, Paul reiterated, except for keeping the Sabbath, which specifically was related to the nation Israel. But the fact is that what Paul is showing us is that we're not under the law and we don't manifest righteousness by keeping the law. And he says that in Romans chapter 7. Look there in verse 6.
Verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now, there they are, there's the two words. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. It amazes me how anybody today that believes the Bible at all could teach and preach the doctrine that we are under the law. The law of the Sabbath, the law of eating, drinking, and meats, and so forth. We're not under the law. And Paul makes that clear there when he says, But now we are delivered from the law. And that deliverance came through the Lord Jesus Christ. It came through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's proclaimed by the proclamation of the gospel. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. Bible says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Notice, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Well, now think about that. The very things that people are teaching today in relation to the law, abstaining from meats, commanding to abstain from meat, forbidding to marry, all these things that people place upon others, these rules and regulations, and they believe that they're spiritual in doing so, Paul said is a result of giving heed to a seducing spirit and doctrines of devils. You see, while the preaching and teaching of the law one time was the very message that Israel needed to hear, by preaching that message today in the dispensation of the grace of God, a message that comes straight from the Bible, a person who does that is one that has been seduced by a spirit and has given heed to seducing spirit, and those are doctrines of devils. I mean, after all, there was a time when you could go back in your Bible and you could find that God commanded to abstain from meats, wasn't there? Well, then that very doctrine that is being preached there, that's a doctrine of a devil, is a doctrine that was one time truth in the Word of God. And so Paul addresses that. Why? Because we're not under the law. He said we've been delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And so he tells the people there in verse 4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So we see there then that there is the teaching in this dispensation that we're still under the law. What clears that up is that verse that addresses, but now. But now we are delivered from the law. Look back, if you will, to Romans chapter 6, verse 22. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 22, another usage of that phrase, but now. Romans 6, verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, but now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, What does Paul mean when he says, but now being made free from sin? You see, when we think about being made free from sin, many times we think about simply not committing sin. And yet we all do. But notice earlier in the chapter what the Apostle Paul says back in chapter 6 in verse 3. Or look back in verse 1. That'd be the best place. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we should be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, that is, after we're saved, henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him. Verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But now, he says, being made free from sin. We've been made free from the power of sin. We've been made free from the penalty of sin. And we do not have to operate under the power of sin. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know how you quit sinning? You allow the life of Christ to live through you rather than living out your own fleshly desires. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have, but now the righteousness of God. But now we've been made free from sin. But now we are delivered from the law. One more in Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, in relation to the preaching of the gospel. In Romans chapter 16, verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You see, Paul uses that phrase there again to contrast a difference in now and what was something that was different in time past. What was different? Well, he says that God, him, he says, now to him, there's power to establish you. And he lists three ways to do that. According to my gospel. And then number two, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. In other words, there was a secret that had been kept secret throughout all the Old Testament. There was a message that had been kept secret during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a message that was kept secret during Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Not the message they were preaching. They were preaching a message, but that message had been revealed. It was according to the prophetic program. But Paul said there was some preaching of the gospel. There was preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That tells us, folks, listen, if there was any other verse in the Bible that you needed to show you that Paul had a different and distinctive ministry, this verse right here would do it. Because he says there was information that was kept secret. It's called the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery. It was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. That's how you're established today. The preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the gospel, and the scriptures of the prophets, And he says this message, this preaching of the mystery, it was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Go over, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we studied this verse in Sunday school this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And notice there in verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us. Called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He says it is now made manifest. You see, when God revealed himself to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 and saved him by his grace, he commissioned the Apostle Paul to go into the Gentile world and preach this gospel of the grace of God. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul did. And the Apostle Paul wrote 13 letters in your Bible, Romans through Philemon, I believe, and in those books, Paul explains the information that had been kept secret since the world began. There's a difference, folks, between prophecy and mystery. The prophecy program always was associated with the nation Israel. The mystery program was the information given to the Apostle Paul, and Paul said that information is now made manifest. How is it made manifest today? By rightly dividing the word of truth, by preaching the truth of the gospel committed to the Apostle Paul and the truth of the gospel of the grace of God and the word rightly divided as we find it in his holy word. It is now made manifest. And you cannot manifest it by preaching the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as doctrine for today. Wonderful doctrine. It's all truth, but there's a body of truth that's for today, and it's the body of truth that's contained in Paul's epistles. Now, if you would, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, in verse 26. Again, another verse in relation to the mystery. Colossians 1. Verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Again, that body of truth called the mystery, kept secret since the world began. Then if you would, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, where we started out this morning. And one of the greatest truths in relation to this word, these two words, but now, is found in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 13. Let's read again from verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time past, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now I want you to think about something. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ sent out his disciples, and he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, or any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew 15, a Gentile woman came to Christ and besought him that her daughter might be healed. His disciples said, send her away. He told the woman personally, he said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. We read in Sunday school this morning a verse in Acts chapter 22 where Paul was preaching to the nation Israel, and they were listening, they gave him ear until he recounted his salvation and said that the Lord told him to go far hence unto the Gentiles, and at that word they said, this man is not fit to live. Folks, Gentile salvation, the only Gentile salvation you'll ever find in your Bible, from Genesis chapter 1 all the way up to Acts chapter 9, that Gentile salvation would have, I'm sorry, from Genesis 12 actually, up to Acts chapter 9, the Gentile salvation you would find would have been through the nation Israel. Yes, it was of God, but the Gentile had to come through the nation Israel. That's why the Jews, God told them, you're going to be a kingdom of priests. You're going to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature so that they could come to God through the nation Israel. That was the prophetic program that was introduced back there in the Old Testament. But what we find is that God interrupted that program, I believe, about Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was stoned. They had rejected God the Father in the Old Testament. They had rejected God the Son in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in Acts 1 through 7, they rejected God the Holy Spirit ministering through the 12. And so in Acts chapter 7, when they stoned Stephen, I believe God would have been just at that point in bringing upon this earth the 70th week of Daniel and ushering in the wrath which had been promised in relation to the kingdom. There had to first be the day of wrath. Thus John, in his first message, said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But what God did was he paused that program and he saved the Apostle Paul. And for around 2,000 years now, we've been living in what we call a parenthetical program. And you find the doctrine in Romans through Philemon. And you find the doctrine of grace. And Paul said, there was information given to me which was a mystery. It was never revealed, but now it's revealed. And he said, part of that information is that you Gentiles, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. He said that at that time past, you were without Christ. Now notice why he says they were without Christ. This is very important. They weren't without Christ just because they were heathens and idol worshippers and adulterers. They were without Christ because, he said, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Then those Gentiles at Ephesus who were idol worshippers, worshiping in the Temple of Diana. He said, you were strangers because you were aliens from Israel and you were not in the covenants of promise. Therefore, you had no hope and you're without God in the world. But here's the good... And by the way, folks, that's you and I. But the good news is, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye, us, all of us who were far off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see, the blood that Christ shed was not shed just as the Lamb of God for Israel. Paul said, Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The mystery was not that Christ died, was buried, and rose again from the dead. That was not a mystery. That was prophesied in the Old Testament. The mystery is that the blood that he shed on that cross has been extended to all men without exception. And that all men can be justified from all things from which they cannot be justified by the law of Moses. How is it you and I have been made nigh today? By affiliating with Israel? By blessing Israel? Absolutely not. We've been made nigh by the blood of Christ. That blood that He shed on Calvary is the blood that was shed as payment for our sins. And because God freely accepted the sacrifice of His Son, the Apostle Paul could write in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. God is not angry with you today. God is not holding your sins against you. God poured out all of His wrath and punishment upon His Son, Jesus Christ, for you. Thus, you don't have to experience the wrath of God. You can be saved by grace through faith. Why? Because now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, Paul says in verse 14, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He goes on down to verse 19 and says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Thank God for those two words in relation to you and I as Gentiles, who were strangers from the covenant of promise, without hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus. You who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. One other thing in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 7, He said, be not ye therefore partakers with them. He's talking about those up there in verses 3, fornication, uncleanness, all those things. We don't take time to read it all. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. You see, this but now not only applies to our salvation, it applies to the fact that prior to our salvation we were in darkness. We were blinded. But He says now, you sometimes were darkness, are light in the Lord. Therefore you are to walk as children of light. He addresses that back in chapter 4 in verse 17. He says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding, what? Darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's not you and I. He said, you're not those lost Gentiles. You're not still in darkness. You've got the light. You've been saved. You've been placed in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. You've been sealed in the day of redemption. And you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. And He said, no man knoweth the things of God except the Spirit of God. You've got that. Therefore, it's no reason for you to walk around in darkness. You've got light. You are now the children of light. You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, I think about this contrast in darkness and light that's so often used in the Scriptures. And darkness is always associated with Satan and his program of evil. And light is also associated with God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ, except for that false light over there in Paul wrote to the Corinthian church about. But the light there has to do with the light of the glorious gospel that shines unto us and having the truth of the Word of God and the Spirit of God indwelling us. And He said, because you have that, you're now light in the Lord, you ought to walk as children of light. I think about this contrast of light and darkness, and I think about somebody
going through a dark, dark place. And it's a dangerous trail, perhaps through the woods or a mountainside. And they're lost. And they're in darkness. And they can't find their way. They got a big old backpack on them. But they believe that rather than accessing all the light, the batteries that they stored up in there, they can do it themselves. And so they stumble through life in darkness. Folks, we've got the light. We've got the light. The Word is a light under our path, a lamp under our feet. I may have got that backwards. But it's a light, folks. And Paul said, because you have the light, you were sometimes in darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Don't go through life stumbling, tripping, falling, because walking in darkness when you have the light. The light of the Word of God has revealed unto us everything that we need to know about God and His will for our life. It's the total, complete revelation of Himself for us. It is the light. You that are saved, and you know you're saved, you don't have to walk in darkness. You have the light. If you're lost and you know you're lost, you need to come to the light. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, trusting what He did for you at Calvary, and just simply by free gift accepting salvation. And after accepting that salvation, now you can walk as children of light. Thank God for that wonderful contrast that we have through the Scriptures. But now, in Christ Jesus, you sometimes for all are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But now, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. All those wonderful statements that contrast the past with that which we now have. The question is, can you say with the songwriter, I once was lost, but now am saved? Was blind, but now I see? Or are you still in darkness, still lost, apart from God? If so, this morning, trust Him as your Savior. Trust in all that He did for you at Calvary, because now is the time. Paul said, now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptance. Now, right this moment, no matter who you are, where you are, you can be saved by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you are saved, walk as children of God. Would you stand with me in prayer?